Hope to connect to Jimmy Jam. Not on the line yet, but tomorrow night's Hall of Fame class, John, what do you think? Dolly Parton?
I heard she didn't want to go in. Maybe she changed her mind.
Maybe she did. Lionel Richie?
The best.
Eminem?
Great.
Carly Simon?
Are they all going to be here tomorrow?
Yeah. Duran Duran? Eurythmics? Pat Benatar? Judas Priest? Harry Belafonte? And Jimmy Iovine.
Jimmy Iovine, who married the most famous girl ever to come out of my high school.
Who is that?
Vicky McCarty.
Yeah.
Valedictorian, Playboy Playmate of the Year, Harvard graduate.
Get out of here. She's a Playboy Playmate
of the Year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Playboy Playmate of the Year, introducing to Bill McDonald.
Well, what makes you think Bill McDonald doesn't know her already?
Good point.
Yeah. Michael's
Thompson.
Here.
What's going on, man?
Harry Belafonte? Yeah, yo. Of course he's got to go in.
Yeah, exactly.
All of our Caribbean boys belong in there. How about the Baha Men? Are they nominated?
They are not nominated.
Didn't they only have one hit?
Yeah, one hit.
One hit, one hit.
By the way, isn't it weird that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction is in Los Angeles, even though the Hall of Fame itself.
No, this had. We'll ask Jimmy about it, but this has to be like an auxiliary thing because the real Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland is still.
And when are they going to change the name? Just call it the Music Hall of Fame. Does Eminem play rock and roll? You know,
Michael, I think we've all accepted that it's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is broader than just specifically rock and roll.
So call it the Music Hall of Fame. There it is.
Oh,
it's a Hall of Fame song. You were barking when this song came out.
Yeah, I was.
That's right.
Briefly. All right, so in the meantime, let me ask this. We'll try to connect with Jimmy.
He won't.
Thousands of people in Sweden are having microchip. Now, don't jump in yet.
Okay.
I know what you're doing, Michael. Shut up for a minute. They're having microchips inserted into their hands to carry out everyday activities, including credit cards, cash. We'll hold that because Jimmy Jam is on the line right now. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing, man?
Good, man. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, first of all, congratulations, man. This is long overdue and well-deserved. You guys both deserve it, and this is a great honor. How you feeling about it?
I feel great, man. And by the way, I don't think we're overdue. I feel like it is well-deserved, but I can't be overdue because when you have people like Lionel Richie going in and you have, you know, people like Harry Belafonte going in, I mean, it's like it can't be overdue for us. It's
there
overdue for them, probably.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but sure.
It's a great group to go in with, for sure. Yeah.
And you're going in with Terry, and you and he have done so much producing over the years. What would you say... I mean, with Prince, with Janet Jackson, what do you think is your signature out? This is an impossible question. What is your signature album?
Oh, I don't think it is. I'll be surprised if it's not what I think it is. What do you say, Jimmy?
So a signature album?
Yes.
You mean?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, so signature album as it relates to the Rock Hall would have to be one of Janet's albums, probably Rhythm Nation.
That's
or
what I was thinking, Rhythm Nation.
One of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it definitely, sonically, I think it fits. And also, obviously, the times we're in now, I mean, those lyrics are very relevant to what's happening now, unfortunately. So that would probably be the one I'd say.
So we're talking to Jimmy Jam, who is going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Jimmy, Janet, people forget that Janet was not, like, the Jackson 5 were huge stars. Michael obviously broke out of that on their own. And then Janet, you know, she, I don't know if the right word would be nepotism, I don't think it is, but she was obviously going to get a chance because of her family to record.
Yeah.
But did you know she had those clubs in her bag when you guys made Rhythm Nation? When you guys sat down with her and started working with her, when did you know, oh boy, this has the chance to go global?
Well, I think we knew because we just had a feeling. Like, the way we always chose who we worked with was always if they inspired us in some way. And so even though Janet had a couple of albums out before, Control was actually the first one we did with her, she had a couple albums out before that. The thing we thought was missing from those albums was her attitude. Like, as a little kid, if you saw her on the variety shows with her brother and stuff, she had so much attitude, right? But then the records that she was doing were just kind of, I don't know, just kind of soft and that. So our first thing was, let's give her some music with some attitude. But second, let's ask her what she wants to sing about. So make the songs personal to her. And then that worked for Control very well because she was a, you know, 18, 19-year-old girl that was moving out on her own, and it really resonated with people. So we thought we had the right formula, I guess you could say, to kind of bring her out and make her work. We had no idea, of course, what the success would be of it, but we did have a pretty good feeling about it. And she was so inspirational just to write for, because she was so open to just any idea we would throw out, she would go, yeah, let's try it, you know. So, and that makes it, for a creative person, there's nothing better than that.
So, Jimmy, Michael Thompson is sitting here.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Well, you know, Jimmy grew up in Minnesota.
Michael. That's right, Jimmy.
How old were you, Jimmy, when you first heard the name Michael Thompson?
Oh, my God. Well, it was a while back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's for sure. But I was a big Gopher fan, man, and he was such a tremendous player for us, man. And that was really, I think Minnesota's had a few glory days of basketball on the college side, but definitely when Michael Thompson was there, it definitely was some good times in Minnesota.
Last
sure.
week, Jimmy, I went back to Williams Arena to talk to the team and get some free swag from the U of M.
and I was appalled, Jimmy, that they did not have Michael's puka shell necklaces, which he actually wore yep. in the games back when you yeah. used to watch him play.
You know, it's interesting,
oh,
Jim.
Oh, my God, they don't have those? Come no. on.
Oh, what's interesting, Jimmy, is, you know, Michael, how much do you think he got paid for going to Minnesota?
What, what kind of question is that?
You always say I don't ask the tough questions. I'm asking a tough question.
Well, I'll tell you this. Coming from the Bahamas, when he hit that cold weather, whatever yeah. it wasn't enough.
No.
It yeah. wasn't enough, right? As mm-hmm. long, but they probably were paying you in, you know, like fur coats or...
coconuts.
You know,
coconuts.
Oh, yeah. Coconuts. Is that what it was?
That's what it was, baby.
Oh,
you never had, coconut water is good for you.
Warm.
You know, Jimmy, I had a chance. God. Jimmy, I had a chance to stay with the Minnesota Timberwolves for as long as I wanted to, but I after 2 years there, Jimmy, I couldn't take the winters anymore. It's just too cold, man, for an island boy.
My wife, who's from L.A., when we were living in Minnesota and going to the games and the whole thing, the Timberwolves games and all that, she told me two things. She said, Minnesota is a nice place to be from, mm-hmm. and she said, you can move. You know you can move.
That's right.
And
yep.
so literally when Terry actually came out here first, and he said, Jim, you got to come out here. And before I could even get the words out of my mouth, I said, hey, Lisa, how would you feel about moving back to L? The bags were being packed. Like the bags were flying at that point.
Wow.
So it is. It's obviously you can't beat the weather out.
Hey, well, Jimmy, it's when just, the Timberwolves were put on sale by Glenn Taylor, why didn't you try to get in on the ownership group?
Well, we did, as a matter of fact. So here's a quick story on that. When the All-Star game was in Minnesota, which was 1994, if I'm not mistaken, I remember they interviewed Magic Johnson. The local paper interviewed Magic Johnson, and they said to Magic, who do you think would be a good owner for the Timberwolves? And he said, I think Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. Hmm. And they said, well, why? And he said, because they're big basketball fans, but they also understand it's entertainment. So they could bring concerts, and they could do all these kind of different things. We got a call literally from Adam Silver came to town like literally the next day, and we were in negotiations to buy the team. And we put a group together. We had Janet Jackson, we had Denzel Washington, we had Magic Johnson. We were going to hire Kevin McHale as our guy.
Yeah.
So we had it all set to go.
What happened?
But then Glenn Taylor swooped in with a with an open checkbook.
Yeah.
And did it, but I have to tell you, we weren't really interested in buying the team so much. We were just interested in keeping the team in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And by us intervening, it allowed, because they were talking about moving to New Orleans and all kinds of different stuff. Well, when Magic got involved, they said, oh, no, we'll keep the team in Minnesota. So that gave us enough time to get, when Glenn Taylor came in and scooped it up, that was perfect.
What was the price of the team when you guys were bidding for it at that time compared to now?
So when we were bidding for the team, if I remember correctly, it was $80 million.
Whoa! And boy, you couldn't even get Anthony Edwards for that now.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that won't even pay a one-player salary.
Wow.
But it was $80 million, but there was also, I remember, like a rebate or something happening for a merchandise deal or some sort of thing like that. And we had big plans. We were going to buy the Target Center. We were going to buy the whole arena also. Because we thought we could had a good chance of bringing a hockey team up there. I can't remember whether it was Winnipeg or there was a couple of teams that I know wanted to move. So we thought if we could get hockey, we could get basketball. And then we actually also talked to Carl Polad when he was still alive, the Twins owner, about going in and actually adding the baseball team and just kind of doing a whole kind of conglomerate.
You guys would have been great.
Anyway. Oh yeah, I wish that would have happened. You were going. I saw you at all those games every day. Yeah. You were going to the games anyway. Why not?
Yeah. Now that team is valued at $2 billion, Jimmy. How about that?
What are you making the guy feel bad?
Well, Jimmy, think of all the money you still have that you didn't buy him. That's the other thing.
Yeah, exactly. No, it would listen. It would have been great, but my thing was just as we were sitting courtside, we were looking around at everybody, and we were going, "How come somebody doesn't buy the team?" Like, we're just kind of looking around. How can somebody buy the team? And then everybody's looking at us like, why don't you guys buy it?
Yeah.
It was really an interesting thing. And by the way, every time we saw, we'd run into, not Adam Silver, but, I'm sorry.
David Stern?
That passed away.
David Stern.
Yeah.
Every time we saw David Stern, he'd say to us, "Hey, I hear this team's for sale. I hear this team's for sale." We go, "David, we're not really interested in a team." But the one he always told us about, interestingly enough, Golden State.
Oh, interesting.
Golden State is available.
Now they're the richest one.
$7 billion.
That would have been the one.
Jimmy Jam, when you guys were talking to the Timberwolves, did you guys ask Prince if he wanted to be a part of the ownership group?
No, we didn't, but we probably would have loved to have him. He was a huge fan, and I always knew courtside at the games. You probably remember this. My chair was right next to the announcer table, which I loved, right? So, but some nights there would be an extra chair there. Mm-hmm. And I would always know, particularly if it was like Allen Iverson was playing or Michael Jordan was playing.
Kobe.
I knew Prince was coming. Yes, Kobe was coming.
Yeah.
All right.
Remember the day that Rodman kicked the cameraman?
Yeah.
Were you there? So Prince was at that game. And I remember he just fell out laughing. He just said, "Oh my!" It was the funniest thing ever. Wow.
So we're talking to Jimmy Jam Harris, who is going into the Rock Hall of Fame with Terry Lewis, his partner, and they've done so much stuff. And people forget, Jimmy, that because you've had such a successful producing career, that you were actually in the Time.
Yeah,
you know, people know the Time from Purple Rain and Morris Day and the Time. You told me once it actually ended when Prince fired you, right?
Yes.
Why?
Yeah,
why did he fire you?
Okay, so as we were on tour on the first Time tour,
right,
we actually had a layover in New York, like a 4-day layover in New York. And we had met Clarence Avant, who people know now as the Black Godfather if they've seen the documentary on Netflix. And if you haven't, please see it. But Clarence had called us and said, "We want you to go to Atlanta and produce the SOS band." So we had the 3 or 4 days off, and we said, "We'll go down to Atlanta and record the SOS band." When we get to Atlanta, we record. Everything goes great. When we're getting ready to leave Atlanta, there's a snowstorm. Now, by snowstorm, by Minnesota standards, it's what we would call a dusting of snow, meaning you don't even need a shovel. You can just sweep
right.
it off.
Yeah, yeah.
They shut the airport down. We missed the next Time gig, which was in San Antonio, Texas. And then when Prince found out we were down there producing the SOS band, he had told us not to produce other records.
Ah.
So now that summer, we go to Sunset. So the same night, we're going to now mix the SOS band record. Prince calls and says, "Meet me at Sunset Sound," which is a famous studio out here. We go to Sunset Sound. We go in a little room. It's Terry, myself, Prince, Morris, and Jesse Johnson. And he goes, Prince goes, "You're fired. I told you not to work with other groups. You're fired." So Terry and I walked out the door. We looked at each other and we said, "Well, let's go to the other studio and mix the SOS band." And we walked into that studio. The engineer was a guy named Steve Hodge. Steve Hodge, we had never met him, but we knew we wanted him to mix our record. He said, "What's wrong with you guys?" And we said, "Oh, we just got fired from the Time." And he said, "Well, I don't think you have anything to worry about." And he pressed play, and his mix of "Just Be Good to Me" came blasting out of these huge speakers.
Yeah.
And so literally the day that we got fired, we mixed our first kind of big Jam and Lewis kit.
Yeah, sounds like it was meant
very
to be.
Storybook.
So I saw you guys reunite and perform. I think it was on the Grammy Awards, wasn't it? Didn't you guys perform on the Grammys?
Yeah, we reunited. Matter of fact, interestingly enough, we performed with Rihanna.
Oh,
it was when I was chairman of the Recording Academy. I think this was 13 or 14 years ago. And it was the 50th year of the Grammys. And Ken Ehrlich, who was the executive producer of the Grammy show, he called me and he said, "We've never had a chairman perform on the show. Would you come out, act like you're going to give a speech, and then we're going to put a keyboard around your neck, and then you'd launch in the jungle up or whatever." And that's what we ended up doing.
That is awesome.
That's what we did.
Great.
And then we combined it with Rihanna had a song called "Please Don't Stop the Music," and we combined those two together, And it was just so much fun, man. It was great.
So Jimmy, it's always a big deal, like, who presents you for the award. Isn't that still a thing? Like, who's going to introduce you and who is going to do that for you?
So I'm not allowed to say.
Oh, okay.
But I would say if you just thought in your mind who should present us, then that's probably who will present it.
I think that answers the question.
Jimmy, what has happened to music? What has happened to music? The news, the great talent.
What has happened to music?
Jimmy, everybody today, they just talk. It's just rap. What has happened to the musicians like Prince and Bruno Mars? There are no more of those guys around. Jimmy, why don't you bring them back?
No, there's a ton of those guys around. Actually, music, I think, is in a really positive place and moving in a really good place. And personally, I love rap music. And one of the people that's going in this year to the Rock Hall is Sylvia Robinson. Mm. And I don't know, do you remember the song Pillow Talk from back in the day? She had a big hit called Pillow Talk.
I remember. I'm old enough to remember it.
Yeah, okay. Michael remembers it.
So anyway, she had a big hit. But what her more interesting story was, she was, you know, Rapper's Delight, right? Everybody knows.
Oh, yeah, of course.
She was the one, her label, Sugar Hill Records, was the label that song came out on. So she basically introduced rap music to the masses as a black female entrepreneur.
No, that was
not only that, she was also she also played guitar too. Like, she played on the records. But then the other record that she did 3 years later was Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, The Message. Yeah. So just between those two records, they put hip-hop on the map.
Yeah.
And so she's going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because of that. But she was also an artist before that. And so it's very cool, man.
Jimmy, you know who
music is in good shape, man. Don't worry
about
it.
Yeah, but do you know who the number one, the first rap number one song was?
The first rap number
That's
one?
That's right. Nobody ever
was
gets it.
Was it Curtis Blow?
No! It was Blondie Blow? And Rapture.
Oh, that one, she's not rapping.
She's rapping.
Oh, come on.
She's Jimmy, she's rapping.
Oh, MT.
No?
Well, I don't think so, but I don't know. We'll have to. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that either.
By the way, I am a Rock and Roll Jeopardy champion, so that qualifies me also for the Rock.
Absolutely.
There. Yeah.
So Michael always asks, he's always on me, he says, ask tougher questions, tougher questions. So here you go. You ready? Who's the biggest pain in the ass you ever worked with?
He's not going to say that.
Wow.
Might be Prince, it sounds like.
Besides, yeah. Prince was interesting, though, because what Prince taught us was work ethic. Oh, it's definitely not Terry Lewis.
Okay.
Terry Lewis, listen, here's the thing about Terry, and I tell people this all the time. Terry and I never have had an argument in our life.
The whole time?
I've known Terry, it'll be 50 years next year. I met Terry in 1973.
Jeez, maybe
so it'll be 50 years next year.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I said. If he was a woman, I would have married him.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
But no, we never argue. Well, we have disagreements, but disagreements is something you're trying to solve. So you try to get to a solution. You try to find a solution for a disagreement. So that's the way we look at it. We don't always agree on every personal, on everything, but it all works out really, really well. As far as we haven't really dealt with quite honestly, because we do a pretty good job of picking. And we always put, like, we call it we used to call it the Excedrin budget in there. Like, how big of a headache is this going to be? Well, we're going to need a little more in the Excedrin budget to take care of
it. There you go. The Excedrin budget. That's what we need to deal with, Michael Thompson.
Well, no, that's because you never worked with Steve Mason.
Right on each other there. Hey, Jimmy, congratulations,
Jimmy.
Man. I'm glad
really
you were
great.
Able to do this today. It is an unbelievable accomplishment. Incredibly well-deserved.
How come we don't see you at more Laker games, huh?
I will get to some games eventually. I have to still work for a living, man. I can't get to the games anymore.
All right. Hey, Jimmy, thanks, man. Have a great time tomorrow night.
Thanks, you guys. All right, appreciate it.
Thanks, Jimmy. All right. See ya.
The legendary Jimmy.
One of the nicest people you'll ever meet.
Yeah, what a cool guy.
Huge NBA fan, by the way.
Yeah,
the
really biggest. Big NBA fan.
It's not the case anymore, but his wife.
Mm-hmm. Married well.
His wife, her younger sister was married to Kevin Garnett. Yeah. They're not married anymore,
right.
But Jimmy's brother-in-law for 20 years was Kevin Garnett.
Oh, wow. All right, coming up next, Michael, today's the day we just go through everything that we've laid out all week long and we move through stories quickly.
Leftovers?
These are all the leftovers. That's actually a great way to describe it. All right, coming up next, what they're doing in Sweden. I started that story. And A potential trade suggested by Bill Simmons for the Lakers. We got that coming up for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right. No better way to start the weekend than with a new TV from Mirror Audio Video in Westwood. Listen closely, because right here, right now, we have for you the lowest price ever offered on the Sony 85-inch brand new model 4K Ultra and LED Smart Google TV. Regular price on this amazing TV is $2,800. But right now, you can grab the Sony 85, and Isaac's going to include the new Apple TV with voice remote. Your price for both, not $2,800, not $2,000. We're going lower. Wait a minute. This is right? This is the biggest discount I think he's ever done. $1,695 for both the TV and the Apple TV, and Isaac will deliver it to your door for free. You've now saved more than $1,100. One rule. This is good for the first three callers only. After three, the deal is over and you missed it. You can't buy all three. One purchase per caller. Okay, ready? Call now. 310-234-4010. 310-234-4010. Good luck. And happy Friday from Mirror Audio Video in Westwood.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah, that was horrible. Really bad.
You go, I'm just kidding. Yeah,
like Gary Jones
impersonating a blind person.
All right,
we should bring that up.
Yeah.
That had been bad taste.
It Friday.
That's right. So Michael Thompson's hanging out today. Got a little Lakers basketball coming up for you tonight. Utah Jazz at Crypto.com Arena. Surprisingly good Jazz.
4-2.
We thought they were tanking.
Yeah, but you know they moved, have.
So, you don't have your headphones on, but I'll repeat this.
I didn't say anything.
So, my neighbors are clearly out of town because for a month now, the smoke detector has been warning that the battery is running low.
That beeping?
So, I hear that beep. I hear that beep every 5 minutes.
All day, all night.
So, he asked me what he should do. I said, go in. Nobody's there.
Right.
Figure out a way to get in. Just unplug it and get out.
He wants me to break it.
Break it? Yeah. Break it in entry?
B&E. I don't want a B&E on my record.
Well, do you know your neighbor's phone? No, you don't know your neighbor's phone.
It's weird. They're on a different street. We share backyards. I don't know. I think it's some lady named Tanya.
But that beep
is
that.
She's German or
that
something.
That beep is that loud you could hear from across
the
street.
You know, if you
loud and clear.
If you hired an investigator, they would, within a day, they'd get you a name and a contact number.
Well, is it to the point where I need a private investigator?
Well, you're just chicken. I would just go over and unplug it, but you don't want to
break into their house.
Sure, but I know all my neighbors.
There's got to be a window open somewhere.
You think so?
There's got to be a window they left open. You could, lift it up and sneak in.
I should do it. I've got a clean record, and I'm going to keep it.
When do you think they'll be back?
I have no idea. I don't know them.
They've been gone a month at least.
They've been gone a month.
Wow. Tweet from Parth D.
Hey, Parth.
That was an excellent interview with Jimmy Jam. So much for Mason and Ireland. Don't ask the good questions anymore. Take that, Fergie.
No, he asked a question that you knew he wasn't going to answer.
No, he
who's the biggest
did.
Jerk he worked with?
He kind of did answer. He said certain of their artists.
By the way, there's no doubt that Janet Jackson's the one introducing him, right?
I think it's got to be Janet Jackson introducing.
He said the person who should is.
Yeah.
So it's got to be
by the way, Michael was the best interviewer of the three.
Thank you, Greg.
You're welcome.
So we can only do two interviews when Michael's.
I asked the pertinent questions.
Yeah, no, you. It was good. You were really in that interview. All right, so
$80 million for the Timberwolves.
So thousands of people in Sweden
are crazy.
Are having microchips inserted into their hands to carry out everyday activities, including credit cards and cash and key cards.
So where in my
fobs.
Hand is it? Do you know?
It's the size of a grain of rice, and I don't know exactly where it is in your hand, but it's tiny.
Okay.
Size of a grain of rice.
Nope.
It will also keep track of your steps. It'll do what Fitbit does.
You want this, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I do want this.
You're an idiot. It's
supposed to get it to your bloodstream. It goes to your heart.
Michael, you really think there's been no research about this?
Oh,
okay, do
you
ever
don't
see,
think there have been trials and stuff like
that? Did
you ever
see the movie The Kingsman?
Yes.
Okay, so Samuel L. Jackson is a villain. He's a sinister villain.
Yes.
And he basically starts the world's biggest cell phone company.
Yep.
And he basically uses the cell phone to corrupt the brains of everybody, and they all turn on each other, and it starts a worldwide riot.
So are you aware that that's a movie and not a real...
No, that's
not a documentary.
What would happen?
That is not a documentary.
That's exactly what would happen if you get a chip put in your hand.
What's the difference between me paying for everything with my phone, which is what I do, and me just being able to wave my hand over something and pay?
Because it's not in your body.
You have never do surgery that you don't have to do.
It's just, it's a little shot. They
don't
put
care.
A
it's
grain of sand,
it's
a
surgery.
Grain of a
Never
rice in
do
your hand.
Surgery that you don't have to
Bert,
do.
No.
You guys are all not, no. you no. guys are such See, technophobes.
This
you
is
think everything is going to take over the world because you saw the Terminator. I mean, grow up.
You think that we all gang up on you and we always go against you. This is just ridiculous.
No,
don't put anything into my body that
Thousands
doesn't belong in my body.
I'll tell you the other thing, although he's like Lex Luthor now, part of Tesla, they're coming up with this Neuralink thing that you can put into your brain that will allow you to like search the internet in your brain.
But it's a type of brain surgery?
Yes.
No, thank
you. Yeah, you're having it.
Would
anyway?
Absolutely.
You would do it.
Oh, yeah.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
Brain surgery?
With a thought. I can look up anything on the internet. You say, what was so-and-so's batting average this year? I'll just think it, and I'll have his batting average. It's the greatest thing in the world. I've got, like, football reference, basketball reference, baseball reference, all in my brain.
Man, you have enough voices in your head already. Yeah. You really want
That's
more going
Google
through?
That's what Google is for. Why do you need it in your brain?
Because I have to go through Google, and I have to type, and this is just, I think it, and I have the
you
answer.
You really think that'll work?
I do.
No way.
I do.
No, man, you can't be.
And
that.
By the way, I think you probably all. No, nah, Michael, you won't do it. It won't.
I'm not doing it.
No,
you won't.
No
do it.
Friggin' way.
Nope. Hard pass. Nobody's doing it, Mace. You're the only one.
You're the
Thousands
only one that's doing.
Of people
a
are
completely
doing this.
Unnecessary surgery.
Take a poll. How many people would do it? Let's sit down and let me know.
Yeah, put up a poll.
Put up a poll. Put up a poll.
What's the trade?
Okay, so Bill Simmons has suggested a trade, and by the way, I think he suggested this before we saw the Lakers go on this 2-game tear.
See. Why you say it like that?
Right.
It is. It's been a 2-game tear.
If it wasn't for Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
My goodness.
So Bill Simmons made this suggestion. How about Russell Westbrook plus the 27 pick? Now, would that be the first round or second round?
First round.
First round pick.
Yeah.
27.
They have first round and 27 and first round
How many teams
29.
In the NBA? How many teams in the NBA, Steve?
30?
There you go.
Yeah. So Bill Simmons suggests a Russell Westbrook plus the 27 pick deal. For De'Aaron Fox.
Ooh, no, Sacramento ain't going to do that.
Wait
Why
a minute.
Sacramento do
okay,
that?
I got John Ireland has a suggestion.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Russell Westbrook and the 29 pick for Giannis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a better one. Whoa, Russell Westbrook and a 27 and 29 pick for Luka.
Hang on. I, as a Lakers fan, would not want that deal.
Why?
Because I don't think that De'Aaron Fox is, I think he's a great player. I don't think he's a top 10 player in the league. He's not a top 10 player
top
in the 10, league.
He's a top 10 point guard.
And you're locked into him for the next
so what?
3
he's
years.
24.
You've got 3 more years.
Oh, he's Mace.
In other words, you're locking up
he's
cap
great.
Space for next year.
He's great.
Oh, he's a great player, but I don't think he's, I don't think he's a top 10 player.
That's what you want to use your cap space on is a guy like
If you're Sacramento, what's the point of having him? You're going absolutely nowhere fast. And by the way, that's been the story for a number of years. Sorry, Taylor, the board
He's the face of their franchise. They're not going to trade him.
Yeah. I wouldn't do it as a Lakers fan.
What?
Yeah, you're crazy.
Wouldn't do it as a Lakers
man,
fan.
Fox
He's got so they got so much money. I want that cap space for next year.
For who? There's nobody out there next year. There's
who's
no big
who's
time
not
agent.
Out there?
There's no big-time game-changing free agent available.
Let's see. 2023 free agents. Everybody's, is that true? There are no game-changing
nope, everybody's
free
locked
there's
up.
Not anybody that would – there's not anybody better than De'Aaron Fox.
No.
Really?
Not even close.
I mean, there's a handful of older guys.
He's a legitimate all-star talent player.
There's Draymond. Would you rather have Draymond or De'Aaron Fox?
Well, I like Draymond a lot.
Would you rather have Draymond or De'Aaron Fox?
I'll take Draymond.
What?
I'll take Draymond.
Draymond's so much older.
Yeah, man. Fox is like 24.
Let's see. Caris LeVert. Nope. Kobe White.
Nope.
Darius Garland.
Nope.
Nice player.
No, he just signed a long-term deal. He's
not on this list. Yeah. Let's see.
Pepe Mantilla.
Draymond.
Pepe Mantilla tells Mason, keep on dreaming.
D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah. You are not getting De'Aaron Fox out of Sacramento.
Tyler Hero.
I don't know why Bill.
Tyler just signed a long-term deal.
He just Hero's off the market.
So these guys are all coming off the board?
Yeah.
Nicholas Vucevic.
Hey, Spencer.
You're right. This is discouraging.
Yeah. Nobody.
There aren't any good game-changing free agents.
So what are you protecting your cap space for?
Yeah.
All right, now let me ask you a harder question.
Okay. Yep.
This Kyrie thing has really gone south, mm-hmm. obviously.
Yeah.
You guys are all, you, Bergman, I think Jorge.
We are against anti-Semitism.
You are against Kyrie. You don't want Kyrie under any condition.
Right.
What if?
The answer is no.
Yep. Well, hold it because it's
no,
a
I know,
T,
I know,
so.
I know.
Yeah, mine is the same. But
you could
ahead.
Get him for free.
Okay. We'll do that coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, right, what's up? It is Friday!
It Friday!
And then, in honor of everybody here who hates this...
It's Friday! Gotta get
that song got stuck in my head already.
Okay, so, Mace, you said something during the break mm-hmm. that has been rumbling. Matter of fact, Stephen A. Smith said it this morning.
Right.
On First Take.
What do you say?
That Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets. And by the way, until today, I did not know Joe Tsai is a part owner of LAFC.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he'll go head-to-head with Kevin Durant tomorrow, who is a part owner of
Philadelphia Union.
But according to Stephen A., Joe Tsai is done with Kyrie. He's had it. The only reason he's dealing with him is because he's under contract.
So why doesn't he waive him?
That's my question.
Potential talk that they're going to.
If they waive him and you can get him for the veterans minimum, this is a six-time All-Star with obvious baggage, but you could get him for the veterans minimum. In other words, you don't have to send any assets out. It's a free player, like when they got Andre Drummond a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Mace, under those conditions, not having to send out any draft picks, not having to worry about, you don't even have to send Westbrook out. You can just bring him in. Would you do it?
0-0-0, no circumstances at all.
So you don't think Kyrie Irving is better than the 15th man on your roster?
I don't think that somebody who has elevated a message that the Holocaust is a fake should be playing on my team.
Did he say he believed that, though? He just tagged that stupid
I don't know. Somebody finally wrote an apology for him last night.
What if he said,
the Anti-Defamation League, he tried to offer $500,000. They were like, no thanks. There's not an apology.
Yeah, that was weird.
There.
What if he's doing this suspension? Somebody talks to him on some platform and says, yes, of course I believe the Holocaust
happened. Do you really think that this is the last thing for Kyrie? First of all, for me, it's the last thing.
Well, No. There'll be one of the, you mentioned there are 30 teams in the NBA. Somebody will give him a chance.
Somebody will.
I think he might even play. We play Brooklyn in 2 weeks.
What if he says, yes, I believe the Holocaust happened?
He released that in a written statement that his crisis management team wrote.
What if he says, what if he says in an interview,
There is no what if, Michael. There is no what if. There's no longer anything. There's nothing he can do or say at this point that'll make anybody, a lot of people, want him on this team whatsoever. I will not be a Laker fan if he comes to this team. And I think I'm not alone in that sentiment. I don't care if you get him for nothing. I don't care if he comes here for free and he actually pays you to be on the team. Yeah. I don't want him anywhere near this team
Greg, what if he pays you directly?
No, I don't want it.
You can give me his salary now.
I'll say no. Yeah. No, yeah. I can't not
MT,
be bought
had
for
you
my,
done what Kyrie
what
did,
believe.
You'd be gone from the station, gone from the Lakers instantaneously.
Right, well, any of us would be, but we aren't a six-time All-Star.
Correct. But in other words, he got off really easy with a five-game suspension.
Well, wait a minute. We don't know it's only five.
Right, you're right. The ordinary person would be just gone.
I fear, Michael, that I think Kyrie would, on the court, make the Lakers better. But I fear this sentiment that Mason and Bergman are articulating is very real and very prevalent.
Yes.
I wonder if the Lakers, if they wanted to, could do this.
So you guys don't think he'll see him the rest? He's basically like Enes Kanter, just blacklisted now from the NBA?
Somebody will sign him. Somebody with
nobody
signed
with Enes Kanter.
Low moral qualities.
Nobody. Yeah, but Enes Kanter's not Kyrie. Enes Kanter's not playing because he's just a guy. Kyrie's a six-time All-Star who you've called, Michael, the best one-on-one player in the game today. Mm-hmm. Somebody, I think, would take a chance on him. He really should be.
Don't you think the public relations backlash might be too bad? Like
it
what
will
Bergman
be bad.
Said?
It'd be awful. And you can't excuse who they are as a person just because they have great athletic ability. It's ridiculous.
You know who would take him who doesn't care about PR at all?
Who?
The Nets. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
they do not they care about PR.
All right, let's pivot on that because Dave Denholm, voice of LAFC, is here.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, Dave. What's up, man?
How are you, man? Great to see you. How's everything?
Thank you.
Long time no see, Dave.
Great to be here. You guys sound great.
How are you, man?
Doing well,
right.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here. I got a bunch of questions about this game. So, first of all, who's favored?
LAFC
objectively,
you work for LAFC,
yeah. But if you were a handicapper, who would you favor?
They're actually pretty, last I checked, they're a pretty heavy betting favorite, LAFC. I think the home field has a lot to do with that because Philadelphia is a great team.
Right.
They were number one in the East all season, fully deserving. They had dominant performances, but LAFC is the favorite.
Because this is the number one seed from the East versus number one. And rarely do you see the two number one seeds get all the way, particularly in soccer where anything can happen in a game. The two number one seeds is something.
What is it, best of three?
No, just one game.
It's like a Super Bowl.
This is it.
It is.
Okay.
And Steve's right. It last happened in 2003.
Oh, so it is rare. Yeah.
So forgive me, Dave, for not knowing my LAFC history, but have they played in this cup final before?
No. They won the Western Conference with the best record. I actually had the Supporter Shield, which is the best regular season record.
And then lost to
in
Seattle,
2019,
right?
But then we got dumped out of the playoffs. So this is the farthest they've gone, yes.
And how many teams are in this league?
28 now, and then next year St. Louis comes in, number 29. So they're going to expand probably to 32.
It's very comparable to the NFL,
yeah, they're
going
to go to 32 eventually, yeah.
So you, Dave Denholm, we've played your highlight. You've come into your own, man. Uh-huh. You have come into your own. Your broadcasts are fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Hear them on the station. and it's funny, we've worked together a long time. You've always been a soccer guy. Like, this was always your thing.
This is kind of a cool story. You were a soccer fan the day I met you before LAFC existed. So you've got to, I mean, you're like me with the Lakers. You've got to feel pretty fortunate.
I do. Oh, yeah. I totally look up to you. No question because of that. You know, it's just it's a dream job. You know, I told everybody I came to LA when I was 28 to do sports talk radio, and I thought that was my dream job.
Yeah.
And then I got my dream job when I was 48. In LA.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know,
no, it's
take your
fantastic.
Time. Sometimes it takes a while. Yeah. But, you know, like, I mean, I love my career. Don't get me wrong. I'm very happy. But, yeah, I just can't say enough about what LAFC's done.
So I am no soccer expert at all. I go to a couple of games a year. I was there this year. I met Larry, the big owner.
Larry Berg, yeah.
Yeah, Larry Berg, great guy. I've seen him twice this year. Super cool guy. and apparently has a couple of bucks.
He's not hurting.
Yeah, he's not hurting.
But
fine.
Dave, this is fine. I was telling the story earlier. this is a star-studded ownership group. Yeah. Like, Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets, actually has part ownership of the LAFC, and Kevin Durant actually has part ownership of the Philadelphia. Who is Will Ferrell still part of the ownership group?
Yes, Will is part of the LAFC.
Is Colin Cowherd still part of the ownership group?
You know, that's a good one.
Nomar, Mia,
Nomar and Mia are still. Yeah. There's been a few people who have cashed out, like on smaller, you know, some, because there are many owners, as you said, to get it. Peter Guber.
Yeah.
He's been around. Peter's been celebrating this week. He's been around. So it's,
One of my life highlights was being the honorary Falconer
at
Bank of California Stadium.
I was so proud of you, man. I couldn't be down there, of course. I was up, you know, broadcasting.
I was so thrilled. I was so thrilled by that whole experience. And the 32-52 is like the most amazing group of fans.
Well, explain what that is. So, people, Dave, all of you explain it. Sure. What is the 32-52?
That's the name of, like, the diehard supporters group, you know. Soccer teams, they all have that group that's just you know, they don't sit down, but it's 32-52 because that's how many people fit in that section. There were supposed to be seats, there are no, they don't sit, so that's, it's 3,252 of them in that stadium of 22,000 actually, closer to sellouts, and they've been sold out every game, you know. It's just and the 32-52 just drives the action, you know. Sometimes I'll just, during the broadcast, just say, hey, listen, and just let Mike Dooley, our crack engineer, just turn it up a little for
me.
Yeah, you know,
like,
they, I mean,
just go.
Do they let them light flares like they do in Europe, soccer?
We've had a couple. Really? You're really not supposed to. Right.
There's a lot of smoke that comes out of there. Yeah, a lot of smoke.
Flares are not a good idea. Yeah. They try to ban those throughout the world.
Is,
but yeah.
Dave, is Carlos Vela still the best player in LAFC?
Yes, he is. He's the star. Right. And, you know, he's 33. He had a good year. And yet still led the league in game-winning goals and game-winning assists combined by plenty. You know, so he's still very, we have so much talent.
Yeah,
you know,
what,
like,
makes him good? In other words, it sounds like he's a clutch player.
That's a great question. Look, there are a lot of great athletes that play, you know, soccer, football, and a lot of great athletes in MLS. It's just the slightest movements. It's that playing a little bit faster, John. You know, you guys know better than I do, Michael. Sports at the professional level is all about speed of play. Oh, how fast can you think it? How fast can you do it? I mean, because I can think it, I can't do it, you know, like, and Carlos Vela is just that little bit ahead of everybody with that one touch. He knows where he's putting the ball better, just a little bit better than everybody, but it adds up to being, he's just dominant, and he's just such a great player, and he's a superstar that actually delivers.
You know what bothers me about soccer and people like Mason and Ireland?
If I beg you, will you tell me
about us? What do you mean about us?
I hear this all the time. I argue about this with Mike Trudell,
too. When was the last time you were in an LAFC game, dude?
Oh, Michael's a real fan.
I watch him. I've never gone, because I don't like the traffic. I wouldn't go to a Laker game if I didn't have to work there because of traffic.
That's right. He wouldn't leave his house if he didn't have to.
But I didn't go to Dodger games this year. It's too much traffic. But what bothers me about soccer and soccer players in this country is when people like Ireland and Mason say, well, the best athletes in America don't play soccer. That drives me nuts. Do they not realize how good these guys are?
No, I'll take it further. They say, the question you hear is, what if America's best athletes played
soccer? What if LeBron played soccer?
Well, no, but here's my answer. They already do.
Right, that's what I say. See, these guys are great athletes.
And I don't mean this with any disrespect. LeBron James would be a magnificent NFL player. He'd be a terrible soccer player in all likelihood.
Or Russell Westbrook or something.
Yeah, no disrespect. I mean, it's just a whole different skill set. It's so different. I mean,
they don't get enough respect.
Kobe loved soccer. You know that, John.
Kobe and Nash was their favorite sport.
I had many good conversations with Kobe about soccer. He wouldn't have been any good. He played it to a certain level. Yeah. And he loved it.
When you look at the NFL players, baseball, basketball, do you equate MLS players in the same athletic ability?
Well, I equate soccer players or football players in Europe as
tremendous
athletes.
But not here.
Well,
why?
I mean,
what's the difference?
Look, Dave.
Landon Donovan, of Galaxy fame, of course. He's one of the best athletes really in sports history. They do those tests and everything. He was far surpassing other sports.
Why do you think that, Mason?
Why are you putting words into my mouth? I've
heard it too much
times. You've never heard me say it. I've never said that ever in history, and you're saying Mason and Ireland say this. Yeah. We've never said it.
I will say this. Like, you mentioned Landon Donovan. I don't know if Landon Donovan had the physical size to play football, basketball.
No.
Soccer, he's incredibly, like, Lionel Messi. Incredibly dangerous.
He's very small.
So it has something to do with your
soccer players are great athletes. They're athletes in America.
Dave, what type of a game plays into the LAFC game plan? In other words, if it's high scoring and they're scoring goals early, is that what we want, or do we want a low scoring? What type of game, if they can dictate the game, what would they want?
One of the things I like about Steve Cherundolo is he makes those in-game adjustments. So it is a matter of what's working, but what they like to do, LAFC is always going to be a team that scores goals. They would like to win, you know, 3-1.
Right.
That's fine. But they are willing to defend under Steve that maybe at times previously, Bob Bradley was a great manager, but we kind of had those defensive lapses that just kill you. Big mistakes, yeah. You know, and it just, because they were pushing forward so often, they yep. wanted to win 5-3 and 5. But Steve Cherundolo, a former U.S. men's national team defender,
yep.
still has that kind of, we can defend, let's do that. But also, let's win 3-0.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And that's
which
fine.
Which was the score
know.
Of the Austin
that
game,
that happened to be the score
Dave
of the Austin
Dave,
game. Yeah.
Dave Downholm, the Vince Scully of the LAFC.
Oh, stop.
Let me,
oh,
ask, wow. let me ask
don't
you a question.
Praise. Don't you dare.
Let me ask you a question. I love soccer, but what drives me crazy about soccer is offsides. Why can't they modify it so we can increase more scoring and have more to me, there's nothing more exciting in sports than watching a great game goal in soccer. But all the time, a great goal will happen. That stupid flag would go up because a guy's a half an inch behind the defense.
I mean, my only
I don't disagree with Michael on this,
okay,
Dave. Yeah.
My only answer is you want great goals, but if it's 11-8 every game, are they all great goals?
Yes! It's fun.
I mean, if you get 24 of them a game.
Although, I'll tell you what. Score first is like my favorite thing. Score first. It feels better. I hate being behind.
Yeah, it's
in a
massive
soccer game.
Advantage.
Yeah.
And it bears out in the statistics. You're 100% right. But, Michael, look, I mean, everybody talks about it, no offside. It would be just a clown
just
show
modify
after
it or something.
A while. If you don't have
true.
That rule.
But modify it or something.
They've tried to, you know, give the offense a little more advantage, you know, with like if you're even, you're on. That's what the
yeah,
phrase.
Because right.
like, before it was like even if it was close, it was an offside.
You're right, exactly.
So they have done some things that way. But, yeah, I think it's just the kind of game where it's passionate. So a goal matters.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, one bucket in basketball, yeah, it can matter. Certainly it could be the difference between winning and losing, but it's a different sport. It's you know, football, yeah, you're usually not going to score one touchdown to win a game.
Right.
I get it, yeah. But well, goal matters in this yeah. sport. It's 90 minutes, Michael. That should fit you.
One
right?
last question. Are you going to Qatar for the World Cup?
I am not going, but right here. Thank you for the opportunity. 710 ESPN. I'll be doing a daily show for the World
Cup
nice. Coming up.
Nice. Oh, nice. Yeah. That's great, man. That's
yeah,
great.
We've thank you for the opening to announce that, actually. Mm-hmm. I haven't even talked about that. I did a little bit on social media, but yeah, we're going to have a daily show, mostly Monday through Friday, some big weekend days that are during the World
nice.
Cup.
Will you tell these two clowns
again,
who don't understand,
again, Michael,
it is the greatest
Steve's
sport.
A fan.
Tell
I
them.
Mean, we love John, but, you know, I can appreciate it. He doesn't really care about the sport. That's fine.
It is the
that's,
greatest
you know,
sporting event on the
in,
planet.
But,
oh, the
World
Cup
song.
Oh, I'm,
but
I'm
Steve's
all
a big
in on
fan.
The World
yeah,
Cup.
I fully appreciate right. the, you know, the fandom of Steve Mason.
Hey, Dave, listen, have a great call tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's Black and Gold Friday here in 710 ESPN.
You guys look great.
We are all in on this, and thanks for coming in, and have a blast tomorrow.
Fellas, great to see you again, too.
Yeah have fun tomorrow, Dave. Congrats.
Thank you very much.
What's LAFC's nickname?
The Black and Gold.
The Black and Gold.
That's
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
That's not pretty creative.
Well, we'll come up with something better.
How about the Falcons? They got a Falcon, right?
They do have a Falcon.
The LFC Falcons.
They were trying to do the wings thing, right? From the beginning. You know, from the beginning. If you see the hat that
yeah.
Steve's
oh,
wearing,
yeah,
like
right.
they do have the wings
the
on there.
LA Wings.
But a good nickname just kind of has to stick.
Yeah.
If you're LAFC, it just has to happen naturally.
Right.
So.
Exactly. I mean, all right, Dave, have a blast tomorrow. I get to be there. I'm really psyched. Coming up next for you is Bobcat. Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right. If you are hiring for your business, there's one solution that's been advancing technology for years, and that's ZipRecruiter. Right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/LA. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology identifies people with the right skills and experience and invites them to apply to your job. It's a great formula, 83%. Of people who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within one day. Or as my buddy Ian Siegel, who invented ZipRecruiter, says, we don't leave anything to chance. So if you want to step up your hiring game, give ZipRecruiter a shot. You got nothing to lose because right now it's free at ZipRecruiter.com/LA. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LA. What are you waiting for? Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LA. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Thank you very much, Chris and Amanda. And so what we like to do on these days is just kind of go through your list here because it's Friday and we're going to
Yeah, it's leftovers day.
So you have on here Reese Hoskins, and I think this was actually a John story.
Yep.
Reese Hoskins' wife keeps buying 50 beers for the fans in the stands at Philly's home games. It costs her $600 every time she does it. What do you think about that, John?
I love it. Especially after they won game three.
That's right.
And then she said, well, I'll just keep doing it for the rest of the home games. But good for her. I think that endears you to the fans. The fans in Philly, I hate everything and everybody. So if you can win them over by buying them beer, why not? More power to you.
So, Bergman, you and me and I don't know who else. Jorge, are you going to go to SC UCLA?
No.
No. Hey, we're going. When we do that, I want to promote exactly where we are in the stadium, and I won't do 60 beers. I'll do 20 beers. I will do 20 beers.
20
for
beers.
For people that come
okay,
to us.
Okay, then
yes.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Jorge's here.
He's going to drink all 20.
Yeah, all 20 for him. Yeah, but it's very cool that she's doing it. I think now, from what I read, the Astros are going to win the World Series. So they're up 3-2, which sucks, but... But Philly gave it a good run, and good for Mrs. Hoskins.
All right, I need to hit the Bobcat button, don't I?
Yeah.
By the way, did you
Bobcat.
Guys...
Bobcat.
Oops.
Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
Okay. Well, okay. So the next thing that's on here... So, Mason, you said that you saw something about the... I'm trying to find the story now, but the Loch Ness Monster.
Yes!
Tell me about the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay, so the Loch Ness Monster, which I... This is... It's not lie of the day, so I can tell you this. My very first trip to Europe, I went to Scotland... And I went to Loch Ness because I've always been fascinated by the Loch Ness Monster. Now, there's
it's not there.
Who says that? It's a plesiosaurus.
Please.
Yeah, it's a plesiosaurus.
They dragged that lake with all kind of sonar equipment. I ain't seen nothing but fish down there.
So here's a...
Sucker.
Here's right. What some... There's a really
hey,
famous...
Mace, let's go see Bigfoot.
There's a famous photo of the Loch Ness
that's
Monster.
A little toy. That's a toy duck in the water.
Okay. Now, a lady has
guy
come out...
Guy underneath holding
right.
It up.
Yeah. A lady has come out. Her name is Nessie. Her name is Sue Keogh of Perth, Australia. She says... that her dad used to make a shadow puppet exactly like that, yeah. And that picture is a shadow puppet and not the real Loch Ness Monster.
I'm with the Australian woman. You guys are all suckers.
Mace.
You don't. Oh, I believe in the Loch
Ness
Monster.
They've dragged that lake with sonar equipment.
You know what? It's very, very murky. That's
no,
the
but
thing
no,
about
but
a
that's
loch.
Just it. That's the image.
Hundreds of feet
no,
deep.
If that thing was as big as they said it was, the image would show up on sonar.
Why do you think?
I found sound from the Loch Ness Monster.
All right. Yeah, Michael.
No, I would like to believe, but yeah. No, because I love dinosaurs to see some kind of reptile like that. But I no.
I believe.
Don't you think there'd be more sightings if there was a one there?
There have been 20 sightings so far this year.
Don't you think one of them would have died and the carcass would float to the surface like a whale does?
They may sink. They may sink to the bottom of the loch. The loch is very deep. Lochs are super deep.
Wow.
How deep is the loch?
The loch is about 1,000
wow.
feet.
Wow. That's it. That Bobcat.
Bobcat.
All right, Jorge.
I'm tired of that.
Okay, so this is the one that you skipped earlier. So it's Kellen Acosta, a midfielder from the LAFC, was in the middle of a press conference yesterday. He was confused from a player from the other team.
Yeah, the key here is he plays for the LAFC. Yes. He plays for us, and some guy at the press conference asked this question.
Question. First off, how exciting is it to be in Philly right now? The Phillies are in the World Series, the Eagles are undefeated, and you guys are playing for the MLS Cup. Has it sunk in? And secondly, how does a game like this help you to even be looked at for the upcoming World Cup? Thank you and congratulations.
Yeah, just playing against a Philadelphia team, you're saying?
The excitement right now in Philadelphia, you got the Phillies in the World Series.
This guy clearly thinks he plays in Philly.
Are playing for the championship as well.
I would go along with it.
I don't play for Philly.
That was great. He should have gone along with it.
I don't play.
He should have played along
with
it.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm a Cowboys fan, so I don't like the Eagles. So I know that they're undefeated.
Not on the Philly team.
Shout out to the Eagles, I guess. The Phillies are in the World Series, so congratulations. And yeah, we're playing against the Union. But we're here in LA. LA is home, and we're hoping to have a good result on the weekend.
Is there a question?
Yeah, so how do you think he handled that, and have you guys ever been around a reporter like that?
I have been that reporter.
Oh, wow, what happened?
You've like a case of mistaken identity
kind
of thing?
Completely mistaken identity. So at the 2016 Olympics in Rio, There were two groups. They had won, the women's basketball had won the gold medal. It was a great celebration, all that stuff. And I interviewed, I was supposed to interview two groups of women from the U.S. women's basketball team. So it was, one was like Sue Bird and a group led by that. The other one was Maya Moore and a group led by that. So I mistook. We were right in the middle of the gold medal soccer match, and Neymar had his penalty kick to win the gold medal. And I didn't notice who came in. And so I introduced Sue Bird as Maya Moore. Because I didn't look up and I didn't see who it was. It was the most horrifying experience of my life. Yeah. I was so, because I was only half paying attention.
Did Sue play along with it?
No, Sue said, "What? Are we being pranked? Are there cameras here? She thought she was being pranked. Yeah, no, it was an awful experience. Ireland, do you ever have one like that?
I can't think of one. I'm sure I have, where I've screwed it up and you know, asked somebody a ridiculously stupid question. Nothing comes to mind. That's about as bad as I've ever heard, though, the one you just played.
We know a guy. Can I tell this story?
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
Okay. We know a guy who was once on the radio somewhere.
It Friday.
Who, there was somebody as a guest who was wearing and always wears a toupee. And this person who was hosting the show said, "Hey, I really like your hair. How do you keep it so neat?"
No, you can absolutely tell the story. This was Ben.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you were gone.
Yeah, okay, I was trying to protect names.
Yeah, no, Ben was here, and there's a person in the industry, it's well known that this person wears a toupee.
Yes,
and
I remember this.
And Ben starts going in on, "Hey, man, let me ask you about your hair. Your hair is always perfect. I don't know how you do it. Oh. Like, no matter when you are, like, it's outside, it's windy, I mean, you're inside the studio, it always looks like a minute. What's your secret?" And I am waving hysterically at Ben, trying to wave him off.
Different line of questioning.
And Ben's like, what? And he handled it. The guy handled
it really well.
And we go to a break, and I went, "The guy wears a rug," and Ben goes, "No."
Well, it's a good rug. How can you tell?
No, it is very solid. Yeah. It's a very solid rug.
Can we give his initials?
No.
No.
That would be really cruel.
Still works for the company.
He does.
Is he black or white?
I'll write it down for you.
About it. Don't write it down domestic. For Michael. He'll say it.
That's true. I'll tell you.
He'll say it. He'll just read it on the air.
Bobcat.
All right, that'll do it.
No, that was,
well, we went long with Dave.
It was a very mini Bobcat session there.
Friday. Well, it's Friday.
Oh, it's Friday. That's true. All right, coming up next for you, let's see what's next.
Is it that loud, Mace? Can you really hear it that loud?
It is.
I had one of those going on in my house a couple of weeks ago. One of the smoke detectors was beeping like that for a couple of days, and we couldn't find it. That was driving me nuts.
You know when that happens to me? What? I'm so anal about stuff like that. I change all the batteries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't figure out which one it is. I'm going to the store, I'm buying 10 batteries, and I'm going to change them all.
Yeah,
I always buy those lithium batteries that are supposed to last forever, and sure enough, 2 years later, I'm back in the same boat.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
That is the worst.
Okay. All right, coming up next for you. Who has got the NFL's most punchable face? Plus, we've got our grand prize winner in our Terranea Resort contest this week. We'll tell you who that is coming up next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.